Hey everybody, this is Sam. It is the evening or morning, depending on how you think of it, after we've recorded our most recent episode of Ask an Atheist and our return to regular live episodes. And before we get the show underway, I feel it necessary to apologize so that you have an understanding of what's happening. We had a bit of a problem at the radio station this week, and for the first little bit, there was some overdriving of the audio. So at the beginning of the show, we sound very strange. And if you're one of those people who pays attention to the details of the show and stuff like that, you can actually hear me start debugging the problem with the radio station guy until I get smart and cut my mic. And no matter how much I control the levels, for some reason we were overdriving. And then I started frantically just turning off things in the radio station, figuring out what was going on, and then eventually I figured out what it was. And I've been told in no uncertain terms that the problem will be fixed by next week. But as a result, the first 2 minutes or so of the show are very overdriven, with occasional peaking after the show, and then it's solved by about 3 minutes in. And I apologize for that. It's not that annoying. I've done what I can to minimize the effects, but again, this is not our usual audio quality, so I feel it necessary to apologize to you, not only for the bad audio quality, but for the amount of time it took me to produce this episode. So that's all I've got to say. Thank you guys very much. This is I felt this was a really good episode. It was a nice return to the things that I really like to do with Becky and Mike on the show, and there's some actually very personal moments on it. So even if the audio at the very beginning is very weird, I encourage you to stick around for the show. Anyway, here is Season 13, Episode 13 of Ask an Atheist.
Well, we are back for good now.
We are back for good.
Absolutely. This is Ask an Atheist 253-584-1480, and it's fall.
Yay.
It is fall.
It's
and what's
rainy. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's totally fall.
And what's cool about fall is that it's apple season. And apple season is interesting because we're going around...
We're going around getting some apples yesterday.
Yeah.
In the rain, in the blusteriness. And it was great. Sam and I went out. We were doing... We were doing some collecting of windfall apples and some pretty neat stuff going around. And a lot of churches there are in Midland, Tacoma.
I got to ask, though, why are you guys gathering apples?
We're gathering apples for our atheist heathen cider that we're going to be making, clearly. But
you make it sound like you're making it in a cauldron.
Yes, I want to have a boil, double, toil, trouble, etc., etc.
Actually, we're working on our... we're doing a DIY cider press, and we're using a metal basin sink to create the cider press. And what's cool about that is, yeah, it's kind of cauldron-y. And I'm going to start building that when we come back from, when we're done with Post Show today. I'm going to hit Home Depot and other such stores. And
Atheist Cider Press.
And you know what I'm using to scrat the apples? Or
What is scratting?
It is turning apples into apple mush that you then press. I'm using a garbage disposal.
Oh, so you're going straight out Gallagher now.
Yeah.
This is not atheist watermelon cider.
Yeah, I was looking for good DIY plans for an apple scratter, because that seemed like the much more expensive and much more complex thing. I thought about using a wood chipper, you know, sort of going the Fargo method.
Oh.
And you know, it's like, wow, okay, that doesn't look like it's very efficient, and it looks like it's going to be very difficult to get the apples when you're done processing them. And then I found on a Google search, yeah, just use a garbage disposal. Just don't put garbage in it.
Yeah, that's something you use for a single purpose, I'd say.
Yeah, it'd be a single purpose garbage disposal. Again, this is Ask an Atheist 253-584-1480. We've got some really interesting news going on today.
We do.
We've been gone for a while.
September's been chock full of fun, religious stuff, atheist stuff.
Yeah, and we go on break just in time for all this crazy news to happen. But first, we do need to say that we need your help. Ask an Atheist needs your help. We need to raise some funds to keep the lights on for the show and to keep us on the air. So that would be October 11th to October 12th.
From noontime
to noon, 24 hours, yes. Yes, indeed, it is another one of our famous streamathons. This will be, I believe, our fourth?
third, I think.
Third, discounting third. The Streamathon we did as a fundraiser for our Ref 74 campaign in Washington State.
I was counting that one. And they're a lot of fun. This time we're going to be trying Google Hangouts technology.
It will be visible via YouTube as
well. Yeah, and you'll be able to see it on our YouTube channel. And we're going to be going for 24 full hours. We promise some very interesting things. We're going to try and bring some guests in. I'm going to try and get some LAN gaming going with people online. I'm hoping to play the Left Behind expansion video game, because apparently you can play LAN games with up to like 7 people or something like that, and I'd like to get that going. I think that would be fun.
I think in my best teacher voice, I'll read upside down style, you know, to the class, some of our choice publications from Ray Comfort. He gave us a personalized signed copy with love to Becky and Sam, with a great science book for kids all about how everything that we do in construction and how science mirrors God's creation.
It was pretty fantastic. And like I said, we need to keep the lights on, and that is what this is for. Without saying too much, it has been a difficult year for fundraising for Ask an Atheist, or a difficult quarter for Ask an Atheist. And so anything helps. And to that end, I would like to thank people who have this month met Peggy's challenge. I would like to thank Peggy from Kent, Washington, who has decided to meet her own challenge. Jonathan from Wellington, Utah, and Rebecca from Norman, Oklahoma. That sounds vaguely familiar.
Just a little bit familiar, yeah. And, you know, Peggy's challenge is just something that Peggy called in and said, hey, you know what, I think this is an important asset to the community to have some secular voices on the radio, even if you're not an atheist yourself, or if you're questioning religion. Having all points of view just out there on commercial radio, hearing from different kinds of viewpoints is really important.
Absolutely.
And like a lot of things, it does cost money.
And as we are going to talk about some of our news stories, the perception of atheists that's going to be in the media if we don't create our own media is oftentimes incredibly slanted, and the things that people do say about us often very casually can be very, very hurtful and dismissive, and oftentimes we don't have the opportunity to be able to respond to that.
Yeah.
And this show gives us that opportunity to actually have our side of things. I mean, on this station alone, we are the only non-theist show. There's plenty of religious shows here, plenty of religious networks all over the country.
As far as I know, on the West Coast, we are the only non-theistic show that's actually on airwaves, so...
It's a hard thing. We're up against a very big... market share, and oftentimes when there isn't this response from us, people just go with what their pastor says about us, and what their pastor often says about us is usually pretty ugly.
Absolutely. And you know, we should, the thing is that the religious majority out there is vast and strange, and we should probably talk about that a little bit, I think. So, for example, a school board has unanimously approved school prayer. A Kansas school board for District Number 480 voted unanimously to allow student-led prayer at all activities in the district. Several years ago, Liberal High School...
That's the name of the high school.
...discontinued PA system prayers in favor of student-led prayers on the football field. The recent vote permits students to use public address systems and microphones for all special school activities. Superintendent Paul Larkin cautioned board members that the school must not turn away a group outside of the mainstream if they would like to serve up prayers. Board members, however, defiantly proclaimed, "If there's a will, there's a way, and it's probably the most important thing we've done."
Ugh.
One member lamented that they had allowed the opinions of a few in America to dictate what the rest of us could do.
Yeah, the thing here is, you know, they were very careful to say it has to be student-led to be in compliance with Supreme Court decisions. But the thing is, they never needed to say that students are allowed to pray. Students have been allowed to pray and lead student-led prayers in school, on school campus, on school grounds, as long as it's not interfering with the educational process. The thing that's remarkable here is that it's use of the public address system, having a captive audience there, having them listen to your prayers.
That's a good point. I think that the question of student-led... I don't think this is the intent behind student-led prayer. The idea is that if they want to have their own religious club or take it upon themselves to pray, this is where the school is actually putting them in the position the teacher used to be, and the student is now doing it on behalf of the school board instead of a teacher. It's still the school is still promoting it and still giving them the go-ahead.
This is their asbestos shield. They're thinking as long as they keep saying the phrase student-led, that will somehow protect them from having institutionalized prayer from school. It doesn't matter who's doing the praying and who's leading the praying. That only matters to the process of praying, which a secular nation should not care about.
Yeah.
If it's an institutionalized prayer, then it's institutionalized prayer. And that means that religion has an advantage over other religions, and that's a clear violation of the First Amendment.
Yeah, it's not student-led, it's student-read.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I love it a lot. You know, one of the things that the school board members had said in this case were, hey, you know what? We open up every school board meeting with a invocation and prayer, so we can't be sitting here. We're hypocrites if we pray, but we don't let our students pray.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, another argument, you know, in favor of not opening every government function with a school prayer or with a prayer of any sort.
And like I said in last week's episode, I like the In God We Trust stuff off, or One Nation Under God. I like taking that off, and I support that. But that doesn't matter to me as much as having prayer, having religious observance, being a part of a secular nation's government. I mean,
and school is a government function.
And school is paid for by taxes.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who think that's a bad idea, but it's there, it exists, and people benefit from it, and it's supposed to be representative of the country, not just the majority.
And if you want to take your kid and have them go to a school that has teacher-led prayer, there's plenty of private schools that allow you to do that. And I think, again, it gets down to, again, the hypocrisy. They're right about that part.
Yeah.
In that if it was a non-Jesus prayer, if, say, for instance, it was something to Krishna.
Yeah.
These people would poop a brick. They would lose their
minds. You're talking about this hypothetically. This is no longer a hypothetical. We could take the example of Louisiana, where they started talking about that, and then about Christian schools, and then the beginning public funding, and then somebody said, great, I'd like to start an Islamic school. And suddenly all the laws changed overnight.
Oh, it's funny how that happens.
Or at least they cried, you know.
They cried fouls. Yes. This was a law for the majority. And yep. I'll even go one further and say the laws changed overnight, because effectively it killed it, because they stopped pushing it because they realized they had made it possible for somebody who didn't agree with them to get the same advantages that they received, which they don't like.
I want to know who this Superintendent Paul Larkin is, because he really did say, hey, all right, you know, I mean, he's hired on the approval of the school board, but he said, look, we're going to have to bring our attorneys in. If you do this, we're going to have to open it up to anyone who wants to do a school prayer. Are you guys ready for that? And everyone, 7-0, unanimously, yes, we want this student-led PA school prayer. I think Larkin is going to have a bunch of people inquiring, saying, hey, can I lead the school prayer with my out-of-mainstream religious view? And the thing is, he didn't even say offer up a prayer. He said, or offer a thought.
Yeah. So I guess our folks in Kansas, if we have listeners in Kansas, if you know anything about this guy or you know anything about the school district, we'd like to hear about it. It's a very strange situation. And I'll say it again. I think that, you know, if you feel that you need to begin every school day with prayer, if you think that you need to pray in order to write laws and you know, be in a legislature, that's fine. I think it's a little silly, clearly. But if that's what you want to do, you should take time out, not part of the political process, to take care of those things. I don't want to go into my job all the time and have to say, I have to start every day by talking about something scientific. You know, I've made my job about this. And if that's what you want your job to be about, don't be in this business. Don't be in the business of making laws. Be in the business of running a church.
Exactly. And I think if this gets to the question of privilege that we've talked about before, there is a religious privilege in this country.
Yeah.
And people who are on the offense acting like they're actually on the defense, that the people who are forcing their beliefs on people are in fact the ones who are the victims in this, that I'm not allowed to get everything I want all the time. I'm not allowed to have everything, including the government, constantly are reaffirming the things I already believe. And if I don't have that, I'm a victim.
Yeah. So I'd like to do an email. And this is from David from Brook Park, Ohio. And he writes, I grew up brainwashed in a Baptist home. I always suspected that Christians say they love God out of fear. Why aren't more Christians honest with themselves and realize that they only say they love God because they fear eternal torment?
Is that the case? I wouldn't say they're all dishonest.
I think, you know what, I will, on the side of Christianity, I think the vast majority of them, there is a significant fear component. You know, at least in my experience, when the idea of the love of Jesus didn't work, when people would try to convert me, they instantly go to the fear argument. If you don't believe in God, you will burn in hell forever. I don't want you to do that. And that part of the conversation was always more strident and emotional than the God loves you one. I really think that fear is a bigger driver than love.
I think one thing that we've seen also is that it's not just fear out of eternal torment, but the fear does play into a huge factor of retaining your religious identity. It's fear of ostracization from the rest of your community. It's fear of being portrayed negatively in the media. It's fear of being the kid on the football field who isn't saying the prayer with the rest of everyone else.
It's the fear of having to stand up, be the only person standing up in the crowd and saying that this one is wrong. And we, you know, history has a lot of examples of people not being able to stand up to that.
And you look at just the idea of being in junior high or high school,
yeah,
and generally the mentality that you have in junior high and high school, you're not yet an adult, is that you want to kind of keep your head low.
Yeah.
You don't want to show yourself to be overly emotional. You don't want to show that your feelings can be hurt. You want to keep your head down. You want to be as unobtrusive as you possibly can, because differences are a means from which people can use to hurt you or pick on you. And the school is just giving these people reasons to bully people where these things need not exist.
Absolutely. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to go into a break, and when we come back, we're going to answer a couple more emails, talk about evolution, talk about chiropractors, and
Homeopaths,
some of our favorite subjects.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Billy! I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at Radio Versus the Martians.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing. But that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We were talking about apples in the last hour, and there's a weird word that you use, Becky, when we talked about how we went to get the apples.
Did I?
Yeah, I don't know. It began with a G.
Gleaning, yes.
Yeah.
We are gleaners.
Wow. I would just like to point out that the word person here couldn't remember words. And then always, and I really wanted to bring that up because I had this really great joke lined up saying, I don't like using that word, which is why I didn't want to say it, because it reminds me of the 1989 action skateboarding movie Gleaning the Cube, starring Christian Slater. But, you know.
Ah.
Yeah, I know.
Nope. Sorry.
Winged him. All right, so our next news story, this one is fantastic. You guys are going to love this one.
It's more Kansas.
Yeah. What's up, Kansas? Seriously. Anti-evolution group sues over science standards in Kansas. The anti-evolution group Citizens for Objective Public Education, or COPE, filed a federal lawsuit Thursday to block Kansas from using new multi-state science standards in its public schools, arguing the guidelines promote atheism and violate students' and parents' religious freedom. The updated standards reflect the mainstream scientific view that evolution is well-established and treat climate change as a key scientific concept. The lawsuit contends that the standards will cause Kansas public schools to promote a non-theistic religious worldview by allowing materialistic or atheistic explanations to scientific questions, and that the state would be indoctrinating impressionable students in violation of the First Amendment's protections of religious freedom.
Bleh.
Oy vey.
Yeah, the religious freedom argument is where they basically went when intelligent design folded. And the interesting thing is, this is a ground that has been trod before, and interestingly enough, trod by Scientologists. Is whenever somebody says, Scientology is a cult, and Scientology does destructive things, and Scientology illegally imprisons people, and Scientology costs stupid hundreds of thousands of dollars and wants you to believe in space aliens.
And Tom Cruise.
And they go, religious freedom, you can't talk like that. And everybody, especially are my Christian friends, my evangelical Christian friends, are like, no, that's crap, you can't do that. But then when it's their beliefs, it suddenly becomes religious freedom again. And how do you not see that you're using the same arguments?
Well, it's easy because mine are true and yours are false.
Right, I suppose.
I think that is the crux of it, Mike. I mean,
but aren't we kind of doing that when we talk about evolution?
No, because we can provide evidence, and we're talking about a science classroom, and there's a method for science, and these are the respected, universally accepted scientific consensus for why is there diversity on Earth. And we're, again, this isn't a science class, so we're going to look at this scientifically. This is a consensus on this issue.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're going to teach you about it.
Okay, I mean, I do have answers to that, but I think about this sometimes. How capable do you think the average atheist activist out there is at making those claims believable and not just... How much of this is argument from authority, I guess? For not for the argument itself, but for the way that the argument is portrayed.
In terms of the consensus kind of thing, hey,
yeah,
this is what the majority thinks.
Yeah, we're consensus, let's be honest, consensus, especially in the scientific method, consensus is a kind of authority.
It absolutely is. I don't know about that necessarily in terms of argument from authority, but here's the thing. This is where someone who is a religious believer and a proponent of understanding evolution is actually very much our friend. If these Kansas COPE people think that, which, you know, incidentally is a very small organization somewhere outside of Wichita, if they think that this only promotes a non-theistic religious worldview, look at all the religious scientists and scientific thinkers out there. They can promote science, and they also do not have an atheistic worldview.
On the question of authority, I think that this doesn't really count as authority, because authority is generally, this is right because this person says it.
Yeah.
Science is right not because the science council says so. This isn't like the floating heads on Krypton going, evolution is true, Jor-El, you know? This is a bunch of people who have showed their work.
But haven't we both met people that treat science that way, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, those people are wrong.
Okay.
And
but I think there's a lot of them.
The things that make it true are the fact that it can back itself up with evidence, evidence that continues to accrue every single day.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about science is if you don't like it, you can actually go out and do the work and study this stuff for yourself.
Yeah.
Not simply take it on authority, but do the sorts of research that these people have done to come to these conclusions in the first place.
It is true. It's the authority is represented and embodied in how many times the scientists repeat and vet the actual results of a particular study or the particular assertion that is then made into a theory through evidence.
Absolutely. I'm saying, this isn't a logical argument so much, and it's clearly not a scientific argument. It's a social one. Mm-hmm. It's about the portrayal of evolution and science in the atheist community, in the scientific community, and and their interfaces with the public sphere. And that's something that's actually really important to me, because it's things like this, COPE, and the here's all the scientific junkery that shows you that everything that has evidence is actually wrong. I see that as sort of a second order, you know, as an effect of the way we sometimes treat science, or the way that we as a community sometimes treat science. And so that's why I'm sort of bringing it up, is the intelligent design movement, the religious freedom, the religious freedom thing. Before, they just had the authority, so they could just say, no, you will do it this way, or we will burn your buildings to the ground. Now, they don't quite have that power, but they are still powerful. So they have to adopt the... they have to adopt the consensus and use those tools against us. And since we make our arguments based off of an authority rather than knowledge, they think they can do the same thing.
Well, it's not the authority that I trust in this case, though. It's the method. And I've taken enough science classes, and I've seen the fruits of science, that we are using a process right now to communicate with people instantly around the world.
Yeah.
This is something that didn't come about because there's a circle of monks in the parking lot chanting so that everyone can hear us.
Yeah.
This is something that people learn. It's about understanding how the universe works and being able to use the way it works to achieve certain goals. And that's really what we're talking about here. This stuff simply works.
Yeah.
The method works, and the method is also really good and works into it ways to weed out things or eventually overturn things like personal bias, like mistakes, and tries to do as much we can to understand what are the facts about this situation. And basically all a theory is describing that stuff that has been tested so rigorously. And
I think one of the things you bring up, Mike, that's really important is, you know, we're looking at education here, and Mike, you understand that the scientific method works, not because you were indoctrinated into it, but because you took, you know, you took a series of classes, you saw the fruits of science, you did experiments yourself, and I think that one of the things that you know, these folks might be seeing in terms of indoctrinating young students is if you use a science textbook and science teacher as authority just merely because it's published and in print.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you need to do in terms of science education that these standards actually, if you look at them, promote, and that's what the school board says that it promotes as well, is more hands-on, more experimenting. So it's not indoctrination, it's learning through your own empirical, you know, experiences.
I guess I'm just a little... I don't want to say critical or cynical here, but I think sometimes it's a little column A or a little column B. And I do follow the science, and I do read a ridiculous amount of science because, what did we say earlier? I'm addicted to learning and allergic to schools. But part of it is I do trust a lot of these scientists who are coming out with this really fantastic data. But part of that is also because they have a track record, and I'm trusting that track record. But that can trip us up sometimes.
Well, it is true. But again, if we're going to say this method for understanding the universe is equal to every method, and that's the only way that's fair, that's a bunch of nonsense.
Absolutely.
That if I hear voices in my head that are telling me something, that's not as reliable as a well-tested means of determining fact from reality. To be able to actually look at this method and be able to show your work,
yeah,
as opposed to things like prayer and revelation, these things are not reliable. And those, and I think this is the reason why we get to the question about argument from authority, is that religions, especially the Abrahamic ones, are built on argument from authority. Why is this right? Why is this good? Why is this true? Because this prophet says it? Because this God says it? Because this Messiah says it? Not because they show the work. You don't have to understand it. You just have to follow the rules because so-and-so said so.
So there's another aspect to these sorts of things. I mean, this the education thing here is terrible. And education is very important to Becky. It's actually important to me because it's how we make citizens. And if we don't inform our children, we have uninformed citizens who make bad decisions. And that's incredibly important. But there's another aspect to this sort of thinking that we were talking about in the post-show that I'd like to bring into the conversation, which is everybody's talking about healthcare right now.
Yeah.
And you had a very interesting argument about
that. Well, I had a thought the other day, and we were talking a bit about how religious organizations are throwing a fit, saying that they're being discriminated against again, the basis of religion,
yeah,
because they're forced to cover somebody's contraceptive care through the health insurance that they give through the employer.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that and saying, if they're being persecuted because I'm being forced to pay for something that I don't like. What if my boss is a Christian Scientist? What if my boss is opposed to any sort of medical care? Or a member of, say, that church in Oregon that says you need to pray rather than send somebody to a doctor? If my boss is there and says, I'm persecuted even if you go and get a flu shot.
Yeah.
What then?
Where does that end? Is there, there are, if, you know, Christian Scientists, if it's a Christian Science company, you know, like those reading rooms throughout the country, if they have employees, do they get insurance?
Yeah, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making groups up. There are groups that have these beliefs already. And I'm saying that if I create the legal precedent that says that my religious beliefs as an employer trump what other people do, there's another question, too, which is that health insurance is also part of your compensation package.
Yeah.
That I don't get gift cards from my employer.
Right.
I get a check.
Yeah.
And my employer has no say in how I spend that. And if I spend that money on, say, like a Richard Dawkins book, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So why should they have that same say over my health insurance?
Now, one of the things that a lot of people will say that are very interested in logical fallacies and stuff like that is, well, isn't this a slippery slope logical fallacy? And we hear that a lot.
This is something I'm actually working on. I've got a really big piece that I'm working on, and I actually want to cite things and do this right. And it's basically a defense of the slippery slope. I don't think it's a logical fallacy. I don't think it's an argument based upon logic. But I think there's a time when you do have to consider arguments that a lot of people are going to call slippery slope. And
that's in the legal context, right?
The legal context is really the best context where this is, because laws create opportunities, laws create resources, and when you have these systems, and when you have, you know, natural selection type systems, and you have like Conway's Game of Life things going on, like there's mathematical models for this. Mm-hmm. If you view the openings that laws create as a resource, or, you know, organisms, memes, whatever, they're going to try and go for those resources. And that's sort of the basis of my basis of the defense of the slippery slope argument in the legal context. Now, this sounds mostly, this is still percolating in my head, and I'm still tracking down the research for this. But this is something that I get bitten on this a lot. And I don't understand why, because history is more on my side than it is on the other side.
I'm about to talk out of both sides of my mouth here, so,
okay.
So get ready. On one hand, I agree with you that I think slippery slope works when you're talking about fact, but not when you're talking about human behavior.
Really?
And I think that human behavior is not necessarily rational. And the idea that if you do this, you do that. And we see, like, you – and this is me agreeing with you.
Oh, Eric, okay. All right.
Is that people do this.
Yeah.
When you see people pushing for laws that say that this is a Christian nation, they do cite smaller things.
Yeah. The core of my argument is that you're talking logical fallacies and then suggest that humans are always logical.
No, they're not.
They're not.
They're so not.
Nope.
Yeah.
Watch any election. And on the other hand, I'd say that I don't think this is a slippery slope. I think that it's not like this leads to that leads
but
to that.
But it gets called a slippery slope a lot.
Yeah, I don't think it's a chain. I think it's a nucleus that has one thing coming off of it in multiple directions.
Mm-hmm.
And say, for instance, you know, if you do this, this leads to that. It's not about this chain. That outcome doesn't lead to that outcome.
Yeah.
That single nucleus leads to multiple things.
Yeah.
That's the precedent. The precedent is I can use religious belief to limit the medical choices of other people.
I really want to get to this next story, you guys. You guys know what story I'm talking about. And I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to give you the title. Bioethicist David Shaw recently published a criticism of the movement Homeopaths Without Borders
what?
In the British Medical Journal, contending that the group is engaging in activity even more dubious than that of most homeopaths.
Oh, my goodness.
Their 2013 goal included training Haitian residents in homeopathy and increasing the number of people treated by 300%, especially in the areas of prenatal and postpartum care.
Oh.
Donors' contributions go toward a campaign to be licensed through Haiti's Ministry of Health. In 2012 and 2013, Homeopaths Without Borders documented treating children for typhoid and malarial fevers and selecting hypertension treatments based on spousal loss grief. They also treated a toddler for a urinary tract infection with phosphorus.
Okay,
so you have a 70-year-old lady. She complains of headaches and hypertension. And then they say, we could give you traditional meds, but what's going on in your life? Oh, well, my husband died 5 years ago. Wow, you must be so sad. I think that we will treat your grief, and it'll cure your hypertension. And by the way, we'll cure your grief with various...
Diluted grief?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just going to make you a little upset. I don't like that shirt.
It'll cure your asthma, do. Tell you, my friend, there's nothing this box won't do. Cosmic debris, Frank Zappa, look it up.
But typhoid, malaria.
Phosphorus.
A urinary tract infection on toddlers.
Hey, glowing.
Again, I'm not a scientist, but I know what phosphorus does.
Yeah, that's not good. This is one of those articles where I go into it going, I'm going to have fun with this because I think homeopathy is hilarious. I do. It's ridiculous and frankly, a little dumb. Actually,
a
lot dumb.
Okay.
I'm just, my normal reticence to insult people is not helping me here.
It's one of the stupidest things.
It's absolutely stupid, yeah. Not as stupid as other things, which we may talk about later. But then I'm reading through the story, and then I'm finding out that they're going to Haiti and treating people with typhoid and malaria with water.
Yeah.
With water.
With water with other weird little bits of metals in it.
Well, just not good water.
This is the evolved, advanced homeopathic practice, not just the diluted water homeopathic practice of the 1920s Germany.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really their defense. They also, what's really alarming here is that you have a lack of evidence whatsoever for your practice. There's not even, it's very easy. You can teach the scientific method using homeopathy, create a testable question, design an experiment, share the results, and you find that there's absolutely no evidence that homeopathic treatments are more effective than a placebo.
In fact, it's the exact opposite. The entire field of chemistry.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. I'm going to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that which must be talked about. And Fox News.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no-cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul, save the universe!
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Rudd.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. So, a little bit of full disclosure, a little bit of bad news, and then hopefully something fun. First things first, in the last commercial segment, you heard an advertisement from Humanists of Washington. I know on our website it says that we, you know, both Becky and I are board members of Humanists of Washington, but there's been some recent changes in the board, and I am now the president of Humanists of Washington. So, you know, hooray! I think first promotion I've ever gotten, but not true, but it certainly feels like it. And I plan on doing a lot more. You're going to be hearing a lot more from me on the subject of humanism, probably more outside the show of, you know, outside of Ask an Atheist. But there's going to be, there is and will continue to be a lot of interaction between Humanists of Washington and Ask an Atheist. So just, you know, keep an eye out for that. Now we got to talk about something that's a little bit warts and all. If you follow the news at all. There's a situation going on with Teresa McBain, which is somebody we interviewed last year, and it was one of the most touching and hardest interviews I've ever had to conduct, because it was with Teresa McBain, it was with Rich Lyons, and it was with
Jerry DeWitt,
and they were just fantastic people, and I love all of them to death, and maybe I shouldn't put it that way, but they're fantastic people, they're all friends, I love them. And unfortunately, this week it became known that Teresa McBain, who was recently hired on at the Harvard Humanist Project and who was somebody I was working with closely, had lied about her master's degree from Duke, and as a result, she was dismissed from her position there. And the first things first is I need to say that I am a friend of Teresa and I support Teresa. But I don't want to candy coat this. This is a lie. She lied on a resume. She lied and on something kind of big, on an advanced degree. It is a lie. And there's no other way to put that. On the other hand, Teresa, I know Teresa's skills, and I know what she's capable of, and I feel like the bigger loss here is to the community rather than to Teresa.
And the job for which she had been hired was the Harvard Community of Humanists, to do projects of creating humanist communities around the United States, giving support structures, advice, and networking with different communities, different pockets of non-theistic people to create similar things to what Harvard has been building.
Yeah.
In terms of humanist learning labs, children's programming, regular events.
Yeah. So there's a thing here that I really want to talk about first and foremost is the concern. There's people who are going to side with Teresa. There are people who aren't going to side with Teresa. I plan on dealing with that more. But right now, what I'm hearing the most from people is the community is basically how we deal when we discover with something like this, that there's, you know, there has been press coverage about this. It's been in the New York Times and stuff like that. And a lot of people are using this to say, see, the atheist community is just like any religious community. They've got their lies and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that's true here. I really don't think that's true because it's open.
Yeah, I think that the thing that's interesting here is that I find that whenever there's a community that regularly criticizes other communities and the way that they're treated, mm-hmm. and many of us are refugees from those communities, the minute there's any kind of problem at all, the minute there's anything that's not perfect, they immediately jump on us to try to say, oh, well, see, now nothing they say about us is true.
Right.
And that's simply not the case. And I think it's really, really awful.
There's a really strong point in there in the perception of the atheist community where people see the new atheist community and stuff like this as this sort of amorphous steel barrier that says and does the same things that we're some sort of group mind. When those of us within the atheist community see us as you put it, a group of refugees, and a lot of those refugees are people who are hurt by the very religions they continue to criticize. And we're not the Catholics. We don't have a Vatican. We don't have this organization structure. We're more like we're not a star. We're an asteroid field. We're an accretion of parts. and I think that's something that maybe we need to communicate to people. And I want to go back to saying that this has been a completely open process. It hit the New York Times, and I accept, Teresa has apologized, and I accept that apology, you know, because Teresa is doing the things that the Catholic Church doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, I'm a little bit weird about apologies. I actually really hate getting apologies. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody lies. I know I'm house, whatever. But it's to me, it's almost more important what people do after they fall down than if they fall down. And in this case, she owned it. She isn't trying to dodge it. She isn't, and she recognizes the harm that something like this can and has caused. This is an apology that I would accept, or I have accepted.
Me too. And I think when I look at this, the comparison that a lot of people are going to try to make to take a shot at the community as a whole is Kent Hovind.
Yeah.
And Kent Hovind is a educator.
Right.
You probably heard the quotes there with my fingers.
Yeah.
Who basically says that he's a doctor. And he basically got a diploma from a diploma mill called Patriot Bible University. And the thing is, he's a fake doctor.
Yeah.
He's not somebody who's that. And he lies about his credentials. The difference is after he was called out on that, he doubled down. He continues to hold on to that. Teresa owned the fact that she was dishonest.
Absolutely.
And she basically said, I did the wrong thing. I want to make amends for it. But I'm not going to try to candy coat what I did.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference there.
And so somebody said, would you be so willing to accept that sort of apology from a religious person? And you know, it's like, you have a double standard here, you have a double standard here. And then I was thinking about it. I don't have a double standard. Because there's that guy from, the guy from Bible Camp. Ted Haggard?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of accept his apologies. I know he's still religious, and I think he still believes in really poisonous things, but those other, like, homophobic poisonous things that he believed, that he used to talk about and used to promote...
He doesn't do anymore.
He doesn't do anymore, and in fact speaks out against. And that, I'm still mad about that. Of course, I still have my anger issues there, because that's something I care very deeply about, but this is a person who has seen the damage that they have caused because of the personal cost associated to him, and as a result, he has changed his mind, has not, you know, has stopped doubling down, and has said, yes, I made a mistake here.
Teresa's not trying to brush us under the rug, either.
And I was willing to accept that apology, and this is way, and Teresa's apology is way better than that one.
I think the not brushing it under the rug, I think what it really comes down to is sorry is not what you say, sorry is what you do.
Yes.
And Teresa is doing, she's continuing to do, which is that she's owning this.
Mm-hmm.
She's not trying to make this conversation end. She's riding it until it's done because she genuinely feels bad about it.
And she's certainly not blaming Harvard humanists for making the decision they had to make.
On the other hand, I think they made the wrong decision.
I do too. I really think there is a way where she could have kept that position and be rightfully, you know, to have whatever punishment is necessary because
Absolutely.
Of her lie. And I hope that Teresa can be in a position, because it really seems like that sort of community organizing, because this is what she used to do when she was in the church, you know, in her, was she a Methodist? I can't.
Yes.
Yeah. And these are tools. I just did a talk about why I think we need these sorts of tools, or why we need that sort of organization within the atheist community. And these are tools that she can bring. This is what the Clergy Project is for. And you know what? I'm going to come clean on this one. I don't have a degree. I am. You might be surprised to find out. If you know me, you're not surprised, because I actually make a joke about this, but I'm a high school dropout. I left high school right around, you know, in the late 90s, and I went into the computing industry. I'm an internet technologist, blah, blah, blah. And within 6 to 8 months, I was making the same money as somebody with a CS degree, had the knowledge of somebody with a CS degree. Like I said, I'm somebody who's addicted to learning but allergic to schools. but no high school degree, no college degree. I think I took half a semester of junior college and said, you know what? No, this is wasting my time, because I'm getting job offers every day. And because this is the internet boom. And these days, in the atheism community, we really demand that people who speak to us have advanced degrees. We really, if we worship at an altar, it's the altar of secondary education. And I feel like I'm at a severe disadvantage when I'm in a room full of atheists and I realize that I'm on a panel or I'm in a Q&A chain, and the guy sitting to the left of me has three doctorates, and the guy sitting to the right to me owns, you know, is a physicist at you know, Fermilab or something like that, and I realize I'm a yutz with a radio show. And I sometimes wish, you know, if I could lie about that, I might. I feel that sensitivity there, and I feel kind of some of the position that Teresa is in, and that doesn't mean that what she did was right. That doesn't. I think that's a really bad thing. But man, that's something I feel very keenly. And the other thing is, I'm hoping to rectify that. I'm planning on going back to school, and one of the things I'm looking at is getting in Greg Epstein's program. We've been talking about that a lot.
Yep, we have.
Because this is what I'm done with technology. This is what I want to do with my life. And the one thing that bothers me the most, and I know he's going to hear this now, but the one thing that bothers me the most about this is that sometimes it felt like that it felt a little bit like it was mostly the lie. You know, the lie is why she got kicked out. But a little bit of it is because she didn't have an advanced degree.
The degree is not what made her qualified for that job.
I know. And that scares me a little bit, because there is something that I'm a little hesitant about. I'm not hesitant. It's not slowing me down in any way. But there is something that I'm concerned with Harvard humanists, is we've got Greg Epstein at Harvard, and then John Figdor, right?
We've got John Figdor at Stanford.
At Stanford.
We've got Chris Stedman at Yale.
At Yale. When are you guys going to get to North Central Community College? When are you guys going to get to like Bradley University, which is still a high-end school, but it's not an Ivy League school? I feel like the Harvard Humanists Project is the project where they do that, but I've been hearing about the Harvard Humanist Center Project for a long time, and the first time I've seen motion on that was with Teresa McBain. And I realize I've been ranting for like 5 minutes, but this is intensely, there's so many aspects to this which are intensely personal to me. And I feel like this is the time when they need to be aired. And so, like I said, if it's because she didn't have a degree, that's the arsenic in the water. You know, if the liquid that caused this to happen is the lie, then just a little bit of that arsenic of no advanced degree is enough to make me go, because we need to talk to the high school dropouts like me just as much as we need to talk about the guys with the master's degrees and the PhDs.
Yeah, I what I find is really annoying about this, and actually very troubling, is that you are essentially throwing out someone who could be a great boon to the community.
Yeah.
Somebody who can be a great boon to the program.
Yeah.
Somebody who is unquestionably qualified for this position. And I understand that there needs to be some kind of punishment for this.
I agree.
Some kind of probation.
Yeah.
But the degree is not, again, not what made her qualified. Her experience, again, we're talking about the practical experience, that you were getting job offers without the college degree.
Yeah.
She's getting a job offer without the college degree, but would she have been offered that if she hadn't lied? I would like to think she would.
I would like to think so as well. And I just want to make it very clear, I look forward to working with Teresa in the future. I also look forward to working with Greg in the future. I think they're both good people, and I think there's a lot of positive things going on, and I would like to tap into those, and I would like to see what they would like to have happen, and I would very much like to be a part of it.
There's some interesting things coming up in lots of different cities around the U.S., Seattle included, that are looking at building those types of humanist communities.
Yeah. Now,
I think this will be a little bump in the road.
We're right up at the end of the show, but I really want to play this for you guys. We've got a really fun Fox News. It's fun because it's the 4 minutes of outrage. Attorney and humanist activist David Niosi recently argued the case of an anonymous atheist family in Boston. They are suing the Massachusetts Supreme Court to remove the phrase "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance on the grounds that it violates the Equal Rights Amendment of the state constitution. Fox News host Dana Perino believes the opinions and legal pursuits of atheists shouldn't be taken into consideration. And we have much of the clip here, and I want to play it for you.
Well, what he neglects to say is you don't have to say the pledge if you don't want to say the pledge. But, Dana, what do you think about this argument?
I'm tired of them. I remember working at the Justice Department years ago when I first started, I think it was right after 9/11, and a lawsuit like this came through. And before the day had finished, the United States Senate and the House of Representatives had both passed resolutions saying that they were for keeping under God in the pledge. I think that our representatives have spoken over and over again, and that if these people really don't like it, they don't have to live here.
Yeah, that's a good point. But does anybody know whether this under God was added to the pledge, or was it part of it? Was?
It was added. It doesn't matter, though. In God we trust is on our currency.
So get ready for irony.
They want that removed. Or,
they do.
Or better yet, with the attorney choose not to take U.S. currency, which would be all right with me, too.
Well, Greg, is you're not an atheist. We know that you go to church every day. Does this outrage you?
Well, it's a pledge. It's not a prayer. It's a patriotic exercise. In a sense, it's basically saying, thanks for giving us the freedom to be an atheist. This is one of the countries where you don't get killed if you don't adhere
you,
to whatever
belief
system they're forcing down your throat, saying.
Plus, if you don't believe, then why do you care?
Yeah.
It's just like some guy's name.
But you know, the thing is, though, you have to understand, atheism is not an extreme idea. It's called faith, religious faith, for a reason, because you have faith. The only way you can have faith is if there is no faith to compare it to. So I understand that they are the minority here and they have to do.
But why
these
should
issues.
They be catered to?
We're not
why
saying.
Are they so special?
What about that?
I'm not saying you're saying
percentage.
That. I'm telling you that I find it offensive that a few people and these children are pawns from their parents' political statements and beliefs to try and enforce.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
The part that I find the funniest about this clip is when the host, who's the least interesting, says, was this added or was this part of the original pledge? And the guy concedes, yes, it was. It was added, by the way, in the 1950s after lobbying by the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, I know that's a weak point, and I really don't want to acknowledge it. Moving on!
What I really, really, really like about this quote, what I love about this quote, is the very end, which is why I had to play so much of it, so that you could get the context and the irony, and you could just feel it in your guts, like I do, which is where she says, how can they use their children for their as pawns for this religious game
to the flag
in the background at the same time?
Oh, come on, Sam. You don't believe. Why do you care?
And the thank God for the atheist.
Thank you, God, for letting me be an atheist.
This is,
nope, it's a patriotic exercise, not a prayer. Anytime you thank God, nope, not a prayer.
This is perfect. It's not a prayer. Yeah, you're thanking God, but it's somehow not a prayer. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you don't have to say it.
What makes you so special?
But then if
Sam?
We all stop saying it, we get called, you know, communists.
I love the idea that, you know, I'm being picked on, and they're saying, what makes them so special? It's like, this is no big deal. And then they're like, they're forcing our stuff down our throat. It's partly, it's a big deal. It's funny how people who are the most willing to throw elbows are the most sensitive about their public space.
Yeah.
Especially when they're used to throwing elbows with no response for how many decades. And they go, oh, he shoved me.
I think we can safely agree within the confines of Ask an Atheist that Fox News can be a very elbow-throwy news organization now and
also
again.
Also a giant baby at times.
And well, what do you think? That's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
And it's,
I find it so offensive.
I loved the little edge in the voice when you got to that. Like, it was so planned. It felt planned, but it also felt like
planned outrage
like
on a news
button.
Program?
No, but it's like she's going along happy, 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 offended, happy, 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 and it just, I love that stuff. I do, because it makes my BS detector feel good. It's like stretching, you know. It's like doing jumping jacks. It's stuff like that, and I just love things like this. But then, much like my North Korea thing, then I recognize the damage it's doing.
And it's things like this that propels the Kansas school boards to say, yes, we want prayer, and it propels these ridiculous people to say that teaching science is anti-religious, and you're offending me. It's all about offense, 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 and we can't let the small group of people tell us what to do and push us
around.
So
let's tell them what to do.
We could talk about this, man, forever, but we're coming up against the end of the hour. We're going to meet up at Doyle's for drinks in about an hour, so join us. This is Ask an Atheist. You can leave us a voicemail 206-420-0997 or go to our website at askanatheist.tv. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me today was Mike Gillis and Rebecca Friedman. We are back live. Live shows from here to the end of the year. See you guys next week.
Clay Radio, your conversation station. KLAY Lakewood, Tacoma.